Well, we made it to the end, and I'm glad that we were able to get to this point. I often wonder if sometimes people want to quit about halfway through, but nobody said anything, so we've come all the way to the end. I'm glad so much to be able to come, for the elders to let me to come and be here again. I always love coming here and being with you, brethren. It's such a joy to me. Of course, my sons, I love to go over to the school. I've got a lot of great memories over there, running around my boys and playing basketball and them hurting me and me trying to hurt them when I was old. And so it's just good to come up here and to be in a place like this. So y'all are doing well and your spirits are high and you've got a lot of great potential, and I just know you're going to do a lot of good. I know you've done that in the past, and you're going to continue to do it. And so I want to thank all the song leaders who have helped so zealously in leading our minds to praise God, and the people who have said fervent prayers. Thank you so much for that. All the young folks who have been here and shown great excitement and been awful kind to me as an old person. And then all those people on the other end of the spectrum too, all the old folks, thank you for coming. All those silver-headed saints who it's difficult sometimes, hard to do, but thank you. You're teaching the rest of us how to do it when it gets a little bit more difficult as life goes on. So thank you for being here. Now, everybody in between, we appreciate you too, see. So thank you so much for what you have done. And the people who had my wife and I in their home and taking us places, it's been such a blessing. We were able to stay with Vicki, and she opened up her house, and she didn't know if we had cooties or not, but she let us come on in. And so we have had just a great time with her. She's a blessing to the kingdom, and my wife and I sure love her, and she's dearer to us now than she was before we came. And so we've just had a great time being with all of you. Everybody has made it good for us. And I'm glad that you all had this young man working with you. I spent a little time with him today, and I can just see he's a zealous, earnest servant of the Lord, going to do a lot of good. And I'm glad you all got him. And I'm glad you got your old fall out here tonight. You know, old boy's gone down south now to do some work down there. He's done a lot of great work here, and I know you all probably had a hard time still probably not wanting to let him go. You might lock his wife up. He may come back. I don't know. But I know he's a great man, and I always will love him and the work that he does. Appreciate his prayer tonight. Alan, you're a blessing to me. Thank you, sir. And so tonight we're going to look at the final line, the bottom line. Have you ever had somebody tell you what is the bottom line? You go to buy a car. I've always gotten tickled. You go to buy a car, and when you think you got the deal set, and then you go to sign a paper, and all of a sudden there's a couple $1,000 in taxes and plates and all kind of titles. And you think, well, I thought that was the bottom line up there that we talked about. And then you go to buy a house, and you work out a deal on that, and you go to time you sign the papers, well, there's a bunch more thrown in there. And so you wonder, what is the bottom line? Well, tonight we're going to draw a line. We've been looking at it all the way through the book. We've seen it 7 times about what it is that a man should be doing with his life. What is it that gives life meaning and purpose? How can you get to the end of life and hit the cash register button at the graveyard and find out, well, my life was worth something? How can you do that? The writer has rang the bell 7 times to us, and tonight he's going to tie a knot in the end of this book and show us that's what he's been saying all along. And so last night we looked at the fact of the matter that he really shows us about our faith and how we've got to go with God, and we can't worry about the conditions and look at the way trees fall and the way the wind blows, the way things happen. Can't look at the conditions. We've just got to go out here and invest our lives in the lives of other people and do what God said, because God is working a work. And we don't know what that is. So don't worry about the way things look. Don't be troubled and bothered, because that doesn't mean a thing in the world. God's in control. So don't let the conditions bother you. And no matter where you are now, whether you feel like you're on top of a mountain or down in the lowest valley somewhere, don't you worry, it's all going to work out. And so the writer tonight is going to take us, we looked last night at the fact of the matter that an old man, if he lives a long time, ought to live a joyful life. And then we turned and looked at young people, and we saw that young people need to think about something when they're young. They need to, God wants them to rejoice in their youth, and he wants them to do good, but remember that their life is going to be held in account. And so they've got to live with the attitude that everything you do means something to God, and so you had better live a life thinking about one day you're going to be accountable. And really tonight he's going to take us a little further to show us not only do you do that because you're going to die and you're going to face judgment, but let me tell you another reason why you better live right and do what's right. You may live to be an old person. You might get to be old, you see. And if you've lived a rough life and a bad life and a difficult life and you haven't done what God said, and especially when you had those young years with all that energy, with a good sound mind, all that strength, all that zeal and all that excitement to do so many good things, if you haven't used that in your youth, chances are, as you've gotten along in life, it's a little bit harder to do everything. And so, young people, you use what you've got while you're young. Listen to him in the 12th chapter, verse 1. He said, remember now. Now, notice something. Here's something we already know. We're being told now to remember what we already know. Now, we know that God's in work in the world. He's working in our lives. He wants us to do good. He wants us to eat and drink and be merry. And remember that every day of our life is a gift from God. He wants us to enjoy that. So you remember now, he says, in your youth, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And notice, remember now thy Creator. I want to say to you, here's an older man, it seemed to me. Solomon must have, in my mind, written this book in his old age. After he'd repented, he made a lot of mistakes. And so he's trying to get young people to see, don't you make the same mistakes I did. You be careful and you do what is right. And you start out doing it right. Because if you start out doing it right, let me tell you, it's going to be a lot easier for you if you just get on the track and stay there rather than getting off and having to struggle with all the problems, all the burdens, and all the temptations you faced already and struggle to try to stay away from them as you go along. So save yourself a lot of trouble and don't go out here and dig a well in a sewer and get you a drink, because it'll make you sick the rest of your life. So make sure what you do is you start off when you're young and you remember, notice, your Creator. You remember God as the Creator. You remember God as the Creator, and you are the creature, you see. God is the Lord. He's in heaven. He's made you. And you remember, He's high. He's made everything we see and know. And so what we should do is, while we're young, remember what we already know about God and go along the life. So the writer's saying, look, you're at a crossroads tonight. You've got to decide what you're going to do. And so why don't you tonight just determine, I'm going to remember God. I have had in my lifetime, as I've gone along, several people who have helped me to think about this. When I obeyed the gospel, I was 24 years old when I obeyed the gospel. I'd done just about everything wrong a person could do. And my grandpa, who became a Christian when he was an old man, 69 years old, he obeyed the gospel. And so I went down to see him when he was in the hospital. And he was in bad shape. And they finally had to, because he is a Sandusky, they had to tie him to the bed because he kept snatching everything off of him they put on him. So they had tied him down. And so I'd go in there, and he called me Hossfly. I told you all that already. He said, Hossfly, take your pocket knife and cut me loose. I got to get out of here. You've got to get help me out now. I've helped you now. And I said, Grandpa, I just can't do it. I wish I could cut you loose. But now, when I was little, you remember when you had to tie me down a time or two? I said, now, you know, you've gone back to where I was. Now, you're come back to being a young boy again, and they got to tie you down, you see. And he said, well, now, let me tell you. He said, I want you to know. He said, you're preaching the gospel. When I first obeyed the gospel, he told me, he said, now you're not going to get real far because you're not real smart, but I'm going to tell you. He said, you study your Bible and you become an elder of the church. And so when I became a Christian, my mind was set on what is an elder, what is his work, and how does a man become an elder? So I never had planned to be a preacher. I was going to be an elder all my life. That's when I became a Christian, what I was setting my goal to be. And so he said, now you stepped up in your preaching. And so now he'd gotten to be old, see. His mind was slipping. He says, now you remember to tell him how Moses built that ark. You remind him Moses built the ark. I said, okay, Grandpa, I'll tell him. And you tell him how old Noah gave him the law. And he got those things tangled up in his mind. But I knew what he said. I knew what he was talking about. And I remember the last time he came to the building where I was holding a meeting down in the country where he was a member. I went there to hold a meeting, and I was standing in the back doors, as Jenner did. My grandpa came in there, and he had on a pair of his glasses, and it looked like he'd rubbed chicken grease on both lenses. I thought, how in the world could he drive a car with glasses like that on? He stepped up in there and looked at me, and he said, is my grandson here? I said, is he a handsome-looking fella? He said, he sure is. I said, you're talking to him. I said, how you doing, Grandpa? He said, oh, I didn't know that was you. He said, I can't see too good anymore. And so I said, Grandpa, I'm so glad you're here. I said, it means the world to me. And this old period of your life, to see you come out in the night and come to the building, I said, you're helping me, and as long as I live, I'm going to tell people what your faith did, how it carried you so far down the road, and you never quit and never gave up. And so I got up to preach, and my grandpa sat up around about the third row, and I noticed every song we sang, he never sang the same song. He was always singing something else, but he never knew it because he couldn't hear anything. And so he was singing. He was excited about it. And when they would say the prayer, two or three times, he'd say amen. He thought the prayer was over and it was still going, you know. And so I got up and preached, and I preached about 15 or 20 minutes, and I gave this old watch to John, my son, some of you know. My grandpa gave me this watch. It was my great-grandpa's. He bought it back in 1865. It was a railroad watch, big old thick watch about that. Why they call them rabbit killers back in those days. He picked that watch up out of his pocket after I preached 20 minutes, and he pecked on the seat. He held it up like that to me, like that. He let me know that's good enough, you know. Well, I kept on preaching anyway. And so old grandpa went back to the back, and he said, you know, he said, I don't know why I come to church. He said, I don't know anybody. All my friends are dead and gone. I don't know any of these people anymore. And he said, they've changed all the songs. They don't sound the same way they're singing anymore. And he said, I can't sometimes hear the preacher very well. I don't get much out of it. I said, well, Grandpa, let me tell you something. You may not have gotten much out of it yourself, but you've given me some fuel that's going to drive me a long way in a long time. I'm going to think about the old grandpa who lived all those years and gave me all his earthly wisdom. He had a second-grade education. He was one of the smartest men I had ever met. And I'm so glad he lived in my life and influenced me with his wisdom in an old age. And then I had another uncle named Charlie Holland, who was an elder of the church for years. He got bit by a tick and got Spotty Mountain Rocky Fever. I've got that mixed up, I'm sure. But he was in the hospital, and I went in to see him. And he was close to death. He'd had a stroke from the result of that. He was sitting in the bed, lying in the bed, crying. I said, Brother Charlie, how you doing? He said, oh, I'm doing just fine. He started crying. I said, are you sure? Oh, I'm doing fine. I said, well, it sounds like you're bad. He said, oh, no. He said, oh. He said, when you have a stroke and you got this fever, he said, they say you cry. He said, I'm laughing. I'm excited. Oh, I'm excited. But he said, you know, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I've invested my whole life and all I have had in the kingdom of God. And I know it may look like I'm regretting it now. But he said, I'm glad I did that. He said, I want to commend you to do the same thing I've done. You live your life for the kingdom of God. And when you get where I am, if you've had a stroke and you have Rocky Mountain spotted fever, somebody's going to be telling you you'll be crying, but you're smiling inside. He said, I'm on my way. Don't you worry about me. But you see, old people can do that to you. After they lived a long life and they've done a lot of good, what they say is like writing something on a stone. You never forget it. It doesn't get out of your mind. Now here's an old man. Do what God says. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So here's a picture of us coming down to the end of the road and finding out finally what it's all about. The reality of what has happened because of what we have been able to read and see and study about what God has said about life. And so tonight, I'm going to tell you, if you're here, we might ask the question, what should you maybe do tonight? In Matthew, the 28th chapter, in verse 18, Jesus told the disciples he was just about to go back into heaven, so it must be something awful serious he's going to say, because this is going to be the last he's going to say to these men, as he's going to go away from them. He said in verse 18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. That means tonight, my friend, I'm reading this book to you, but let me tell you, I have no authority at all, and neither does anybody else under the sun. Jesus Christ has all authority. He says, go and teach all nations, or go make disciples of all nations. Now, you want to be a disciple of Jesus? We're trying to get you to see that tonight. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptizing who? Baptizing them who want to be disciples. You got to know what it is to be a disciple. I want to follow Jesus. You want to follow Jesus? You can do that tonight. And if you want to follow Jesus, you want to go by what He says, by His authority, you can come tonight, my friend, and you can be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. You can come tonight, and you can do that tonight. You might say, well, I don't know very much. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't know hardly anything. I just knew I needed to do what God said, and I was going to do it, and I didn't care what it was. So if you're here tonight, and you see you've never done that, you know where you need to get started, you better do what God tells you to do. So you can come tonight. You want to be a disciple? You can be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, when you teach these men that, teach them to observe all things which I've commanded you. So you just start in there and start learning everything else God wants you to do. And the only way to know what God wants is don't go by how you feel. You get this book out and just keep staring at it and reading it over and over, and you will know exactly what God wants you to do. And if you need some help, well, we'd be glad to help you. But if you tonight, my friend, need to obey the gospel. Can you see how serious a matter it is? Can you see the writer's trying to say, maybe tonight you need to stop and think, now is the time. Remember now, you're at a crossroad tonight. You may not get another chance. Why don't you come while we sing the song in church?